What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another game cast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey everyone.
And today we're back to normal, kinda.
No,
today we're going to talk about we're going to pick up back up on our versus topic. We've been doing it previously a few episodes, but then life went crazy and there was a lot of other stuff that we need to talk about that's a little bit more important. But we're
Yeah.
back. We're back, and we wanted to do that. But first, we want to talk a little bit about this past week. Not a whole lot, just a little bit. They announced Crash Bandicoot 4, which I'm excited about because we haven't had a new Crash Bandicoot in forever. And the race car games don't count. They don't count. And beyond that, and so that's good news. That's supposed to be coming out, I want to say, in October. For the Xbox One and PS4, and Marvel's Aven so Square Enix Marvel's Avengers, the game that they're is coming out in September. They're doing the thing that originally that Cyberpunk was doing, where if you bought, or I guess Xbox in general, if you bought a game digitally on the Xbox One, you will automatically get the enhanced version on the Xbox Series S when it came out. Well, Square Enix was wanting to double down on that, and they're doing it for both consoles. If you have the game on the PS4 and you want to play on the PS5 when it comes out, feel free. You get that version. If you have it
Cool.
on the Xbox One, you'll get it on the Xbox Series S. Also, there's going to be, I want to say there's going to be cross-play and cross saves. So if you start playing on the Xbox One, you eventually upgrade. You take all of your saved content with you. You don't have to worry about starting the game over. So that's always great.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty. It's pretty generous of them. And then the last thing I want to talk about was this is more, I guess, personal. I saw The Boy and the Beast recently. I know it came out last year. It's really great animated film, anime, and I always wanted to watch it, but I was like, you know what? I want to see if someone else watched it first because I didn't want to like waste my time, and I was like, you know what? It's gonna come to Netflix eventually, and it didn't. So it was on sale, and I was like, you know what? It's only like $6 on Vudu. If I don't like it, I only spent $6, but if I do like it, I get to keep it. So I bought the 4K edition on Vudu. And it turned out to be one of the best anime I've seen this year.
Oh,
Very great story, cool action, martial arts, and then also is the animation is really good. Like the art and styling of it is really good. Just a brief, I guess, synopsis. It's about a boy who his parents were split. His mom passes away, and his dad is nowhere to be found. He wanders into a new world where there's a bunch of animals that stand upright and talk like we do, and he gets basically, I don't want to say adopted, but adopted by a character who is trying to prove himself, and in order to do that, he has to take a pupil and teach them like how to fight, and so he befriends the boy, and they kind of like everyone's against it though because there's a myth or a, I guess a prophecy of humans having issues where they have some type of pain or they went through some type of drama. That drama develops, and they say like the darkness takes them over, and so they turn evil. And obviously, this boy has been through a lot, seeing as how his mom has just passed and he can't find his dad. Apparently his mom was a part of a big family, a wealthy family, and so they were all about like, your mom passed, but we're gonna get you, the best things ever and whatever. And he's like, I just want my dad. And the family, because of the way they are, they don't want him to be a part of his dad's life. So you're I don't want to go too far into it because I don't want to spoil it, but it's pretty great. Pretty great. Definitely go check that out if you can. It's on sale right now. You can rent it for like I think $3, or you can purchase it digitally. Great film. Great film.
Sounds really interesting.
Yes. I was in the feels, hit you in the feels a little bit. But yeah, they did an amazing job.
That's good.
So, without further ado, let's jump into verses. So this week we are doing, we've been on kind of a nostalgic kick. I know we did the movies before, and then we did the superheroes or who we wanted to see fight, like who we pay to see fight, and then we did cartoons, our old cartoons that we like, and now we're doing toys. Which toys were the best, and all that good stuff. I'm gonna start us out, and the first one is Transformers versus GoBots. Now I know what you're thinking. Transformers, hands down. I understand. What's interesting about them is that they come from the same toy line. Like they split, because originally the Transformers was a different toy line. In Japan, it was totally different. And they want to make a new toy line. And back in the day, when they made toys, they had like a cast of what the toy would be, and they kind of used that cast for multiple things. And that's something we'll talk about a little bit when we go into the later category or later, toy. But they would make a toy, and they would sell it, and then they would repurpose that cast to make a new toy. Essentially, it was the same thing, but they just added, something here or there without making a whole new mold, because that would take, more time and resources. And then they would rebrand it. So there were these mech toys or robot toys. It was really big in Japan, came over to the United States, and it was like, you know what? It would be really cool if these toys could transform. And they got with, I want to say Hasbro at the time. I could be wrong. I'm kind of speeding through, but they basically was like, we need a story and we need a whole theme and everything to go with it, kind of to sell these toys. And they made new versions of them called the Transformers, and that's kind of where we got this. Is the GoBots are similar in that aspect, and so even though the quality is different, where the Transformers were way better quality wise, the GoBots are pretty good toys though. And they have a big line of them, and unfortunately the animated show and the it was hard to compete with the Transformers. Like it was just, and like we will see with the other toys on our list, it's just they were just so good. The show was just so in comparison. And I love the GoBots. I have the show, the original show or whatever, and it was fun, right? But like, there's no Optimus Prime over there. There isn't. There's no Megatron. There's no Soundwave over there. Yeah, it's and then there and then also, I can't let as much as I love the GoBots, I can't let this slide. They had an entire movie based on GoBots. There were rocks. They were basically rocks. They transform into boulders and such. And the movie was okay, but it was like, no.
What were they trying to do? Like the never-ending story version of GoBots? Like turn it into rocks?
I think they were like, we don't know what else we could transform into, because Transformers had it on lock. They had like for instance, the Combiners, right? The Transformers that kind of like Voltron, they would, jump together and then make a giant robot. The GoBots had that too, but it was a little bit later, where they had a bunch of motorcycles that would kind of get together and make a giant robot. And so, it was like they were kind of on the trying to catch up with the Transformers, and they were like, I would imagine they didn't know what to make. Like, let's see, we have cars, we have spaceships, we have, a flying saucer on the Transformers. What can we make? Rocks. Yeah.
Like, wow, we're gonna make rocks. We're gonna build a castle with our bodies.
And they would fight by like rolling into people. Yeah, it was a thing.
Grundles from My Little Pony. Anyway,
Yes. So like typically we would just kind of talk and compare and contrast the different things, but if we do have a winner, we would obviously say it. And yeah, Transformers hands down. I mean, it's Transformers are still around. That's how popular, versus the GoBots.
They made a bunch of Michael Bay movies because he ruined all of our childhoods with this movie.
Man,
Oh,
I
Michael Bay.
as and that's how big of a Transformer fan I am, that I actually like it. Like I like, except for the last few. They've been bad. But I like the Transformer films.
The first one was amazing.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. And then The Last Night, whatever kind of nonsense movie that was.
That
What
was
am I
terrible.
watching?
It was so terrible. Like terrible. And that's saying a lot, 'cause they were already bad. Like,
Like, come on.
dude.
it's just supposed to be a simple formula. And then you're like, hey, Mark Wahlberg, I know you need some work. So can you just come and do this? Yeah, sure. You know, he never turns a movie down. And then we get that. And I was like, what's happening? It was so bad that I don't remember the plot.
There was no plot. It was just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And why do we have to have humans? Like, I get it. Transformers had there was always humans there. Like, there was always a, you know what I mean? But they don't need to focus on that. I mean, the original Transformer movie, although there are humans in it, it was mostly about the Transformers.
It was about them. I remember that movie.
Yeah, like Hot
Rod.
The
dad and his son, and that's it.
Exactly. And you don't even see Spike, you know, the older Spike, until later in the movie. Like, he's with Bumblebee. Like, they're an afterthought, which they should be. Like, show me giant robots fighting each other. Anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe I could be here all day.
Maybe we finally get the Transformers when they all turn into animals?
Oh, Beast Machines.
Yeah.
Or Beast Wars. Yeah.
Beast Wars.
That would be great.
We'll see. I don't know if it'll be Michael Bay. It might be like, what's his face? Cameron.
Well, James, I mean, Cameron. Bumblebee was actually really good, and that wasn't done by Michael Bay. Kind of a soft reboot of the series. So going forward, if they have that treatment, I'm with it. Still, I would like less, you know, like, the smaller human presence, but it was a good film. It was a good film.
Well, the only thing I need is just I just need Josh Duhamel and Tyrese back, just so that Tyrese can still say something dumb like, well, I'm sorry, it wasn't dumb at the time, but when he's like, if God created us in his image, then who created them? And I'm like, question.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Transformers, hands down.
Yes.
All right, so I've got another one here.
Yes.
Let's go with Legos versus Kinect. Now, this isn't really fair because I actually didn't own any Kinects because I've already said this multiple times that we were poor, so we only got a certain amount of toys. So if I can just go into a little bit of detail on Legos, Legos are amazing. Obviously, they're still around. People are still having Lego Wars. There's a whole show on Lego Wars. My brother is like 90 years old, and he's building Legos in his apartment during quarantine. His house during quarantine, okay? So Legos are amazing. And, you know, when you're young and you're poor, you don't get that many Legos. You only get a certain amount. So, like, if that's all the, you know, your parents are like, okay, like my parents, my mom, she went to the store and she bought a little box of Legos. I was like, yay. We're like, oh my God, Legos. And then we take them all out and there's enough green ones to make like a little bit of grass and then barely a house.
Yeah.
So I don't have all the positive memories of Legos that a lot of other people did, because my sister's friend, we'd go over to their house to play, and her brother had the whole living room, like the living room where we had the same house. We live in townhouse development. We have the exact same house, same layout. And their living room was actually full of Legos, and not like a mess of Legos. I mean, it was a Lego city in their living room. Whereas in my living room was a couch, you know, two couches and a room divider and bodies. People, their living room was dedicated to the freaking Lego city. So I always felt that I wasn't really that creative because I could never build these things that other people were building. Which is also why it was funny when the Lego movie came out, when it was talking about creativity. And I was like, yeah, I'm literally that person who, give me 10 Legos and I'll just build a straight line. I can't build the airship. I mean, I have seen what people can do. And like, my coworker's son built this crazy NASA thing. And I was like, did he use the map? Like, did he use the thing or did he do it by himself? She's like, he always does these by himself. He's weird like that. That's my kid. And I'm like,
he's a genius,
you know, and a lot of people are. But I'm going to sit here and say that in my youth, I didn't get enough exposure to complete Lego sets because we were poor, and therefore my creativity was stunted. So if you give me a bunch of Legos now, I won't be able to build you a Lego city because I still have the mind of a six-year-old when it comes to Legos. And even though there's 1,200 Legos in front of me, I only see six.
You know, what's good about Legos, though, was that they were licensed. And so they would have different properties like Star Wars or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they would come, you would buy a pack and it would be like, create, you know, I don't know, the Death Star or whatever. And like, and so you would follow that and then you would make that. Right. And so if you didn't have if you weren't super creative, you could still mm-hmm. make something really cool. And I think that makes Lego stand out a little bit from Connects. Connects was like, you had to have your own imagination. Like, they gave you a crazy amount of pieces, and some of them were flexible. Some of them were already shaped, like, you know, circular to make wheels or whatever, or like to look like a helicopter. And so you could kind of make whatever you wanted with those models because they were so flexible and whatnot in terms of how you put them together. Whereas Legos was a little bit more rigid. You had to find a piece to fit this shape, you know, kind of like Tetris almost.
Yes, it was.
So it was, you know, you had to be more creative with Kinects, but with the Legos, you know, the themes that you would get, you know, from like, you know, Pirate Island or, you know, space, you had an astronaut, like you could, I think the imagination, you needed more imagination to play with Kinects because you had to build it yourself. But I liked Legos themes and I could kind of like, it gave me like a push, like a jump start. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
You like pirates. Well, here's a whole pirate set. Or, you know, you like, you know, you want to play, pretend to be King Arthur. We have that too. And you can build a castle. We have like a little outline to show you how to build the castle. And then we have mm-hmm. knights. We have Lego figures that are actually knights. You can take their little helmets off and stuff. And you know, and so that was really cool. I think Kinects, that's where the divide comes for me. And then also having little people. It's easy to play, you know, to pretend when you have little people.
I know, it makes everything easier. It's like, oh my god, I can build a ship because there's somebody to man it, whereas Kinect was like, so basically I'm gonna build a DNA, like,
right?
I wish Kinects were for really smart kids.
There's like a skeleton of what I'm gonna build.
Like a science project. I mean come on, even the dude who made them was like, I just wanted to put straws together and see what shapes I could make, like, and if that isn't can you like, your mind has to go to certain places for some of these people who become millionaires. You just think of the most mundane things. Oh, I'm bored and I'm going to put some straws together because I'm at a wedding I don't want to be at or some nonsense. And maybe I should make this into a real toy.
Dude, ding, ding, ding. I think that's where the slinky came from. Like, it was a tool, you know what I mean? Like, and now it's a toy that really plays by itself. You push it, it goes down the steps, and then you're done. That's it.
It's alive.
And it made so much money.
Like, it's like the dumbest thing, but you could, if you lived on a hill, like, you could be entertained for hours.
Well, I wasn't. I was like, what is this mess? Like, if you don't give me something better than this, this is, I saw it, you know, I saw the commercial back in the day, and my cousin had one, and I was like, why?
What does it do?
You know, because you do the thing that everyone does, right? You put one part in one hand and the other end in the other hand, and you kind of make it go up and down. And that's fun for all of 10 seconds. And then you do the commercial, you make it go down the steps. Like, oh, that's neat. It's walking. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you go back up steps and you're like, I don't want to play this anymore. Like, that's it.
It ended up being like that thing, like if you're at your friend's house and you're just like talking or something, it ended up just being that thing that you held. That you just, you know, it was like, oh my God, it was the fidget spinner of the 1980s.
Yes, like, that's what, another useless thing. It's just, oh my gosh. Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was. Oh. Man. So Lego. Yes, Lego's the winner here.
Lego wins.
Let's see, the next one for me. Because I like, this one is a little bit interesting. I think Silverhawks versus He-Man is mm-hmm. interesting to me because they both are limiting, but in different ways. So mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Silverhawks, and I love their toys. They came in different sizes, where you had like the bad guys were like really big versus the heroes. And there were all the characters, well, not all of them, but most of the characters from the show are present, at least from the because it's not a, it wasn't a long show. It wasn't on like the Thundercats that had multiple seasons, right? And so for the most part, it had all the characters, and they were cool. They were cool looking. They were fun to play with. I had the Buzzsaw guy, the guy that has the, I think his name was Buzzsaw. He has two buzzsaws for hands. And he was a villain that would like go and rob places using his buzzsaws or whatever. So yeah, cool toys, right? And big toys versus like, you know, the more modern G.I. Joes and whatnot. And the He-Man side, the He-Man was great in the sense that they had literally everyone you could think of in He-Man, they had a toy for. It was ridiculous. Even the side character, the person who came and served him tea at one point, he's a character. It was bananas, and they had multiple lines and series of the He-Man toys, right? So they were cool because any character you wanted, it was there. What was limiting about them was on the Silverhawk side was the show didn't last very long. So you kind of had, you know, once you got your initial set of toys, you were pretty much done. I think they had, you know, vehicles and stuff that you could buy as well to go with them, but for the most part, that was it. Whereas He-Man was cool, but all the character, a lot of the characters, at least for the first line of them, were all made from the same mold. So He-Man, his body, I think, and Skeletor's body were slightly different. Outside of that came all the other characters. Like if you look at their abs, their legs, their arms, all of them are created the same. And it works in a sense where like you can trade weapons and stuff, but they were very much you bought He-Man number two. That's what you were doing. They changed the paint, and obviously they changed like maybe if he was a man of arms, you know, he has a helmet or whatever. But for the most part, it was the same. Same thing with the bad guys. Like a lot of them were similar body type. So like I was talking about with the casting, like they made a mold, and then they were like, you know what? We're just gonna make a little few tweaks here. Boom, whole new character. And so they were both limiting, but in different ways. Now I kind of lean towards He-Man just because of my affinity to that show, but in terms of just really good designed characters, I think Silverhawks actually beats them.
I may have to agree. I mean, I played with He-Man. We had He-Man, we had Skeletor. I don't even, I mean, I think I had a She-Ra,
Word.
maybe. I definitely had a She-Ra birthday card that came with a crown. And OMG, I was so like I was supposed to use it at my birthday party, my seventh birthday party, because that's like the only birthday party I had. And then I think I didn't want to use it because I liked it so much. And I knew that if I took it out of the card and actually like put it on my head, the She-Ra crown, that it would like get messed up and then I wouldn't have it anymore. And so I kept it. I think I still have it somewhere, to be honest. Not in like my house, not my apartment now, but probably in my mom's house in the basement somewhere. But yeah, I mean, He-Man, I played with He-Man more than Silverhawks, so.
Right. And you would have to, because like I said, they didn't last very long, and He-Man had hundreds and hundreds of these figures. So that's a bit of a tough one. But I think in terms of just design, I think Silverhawks kind of edges it just based on design. Bigger, smaller, you know, whatever, versus nearly all the same until a certain point. It's nearly identical. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, somewhat of a tie. All right. So the next one's a little bit more fun because I know you active people out there. Skip it versus pogo ball.
Oh
So
my
let's take
gosh.
everybody back. Pogo ball and skip it. The reason why they are up against each other is because they are both dangerous, extremely
Yes.
dangerous. These are toys that, man, growing up, we had good toys. Okay, I think hands down in the 80s, plastic was more, available, and we had a lot of things that were deemed unsafe, 10 years later. But that pogo ball, which is like basically two like smaller kick balls with a Saturn ring in the middle, and you just jump on it, and you're just like, yay, let me bounce up and down, or let me just jump up the street. I don't know how many sprained ankles, skin knees, and concussions that thing caused.
Look, I don't even, I, it doesn't, there was no strap. I mean,
Nope.
I know eventually they added a strap because people were, knocking themselves
Dying.
unconscious. But it was like, yo, and I don't know why, because I had like I played with the like pogo stick, and that was, even though that was dangerous, that was way more safer than that. But I was like, oh, a
Yeah.
pogo ball. And I, because I, I said on a previous cast, I used to skate, like
Yeah.
skateboard. So I'm thinking, I'm looking at the, the commercial. They're doing like extreme pogo ball, acrobatics. They're like jumping down stairs with them and flipping. And I'm like,
Wow.
oh yeah, I'm doing it. No, first of all, you're not
No.
even getting that high, depending on like how
No.
much you weigh. If you don't stand on it like the proper way, you're everything's broken. Your ankles,
Ever
knees,
since.
whatever. Yeah, it was so bad. But
It was very bad.
it was such a big, like, it was bad, but like everyone wanted to try it.
Yeah. I mean, and I, like I said, my parents didn't buy us that many things. My mother, like I said before, my mother worked at a Bradley's. Like, so she definitely, when we were younger, she got us a lot of good toys. And then she went to a different department store. So yeah, there were a bunch of stuff that we got. But as we started getting a little bit older, like those things popped off, like fell off. So I didn't have those toys, but my friends did in the neighborhood. So I was always on a friend's toy. And that's why I was always in trouble because A, my mom didn't want me playing on anybody else's stuff because, that's just who she is. And then secondly, if I was playing on somebody else's stuff and got hurt, then I also got a spanking. So not only was I actually hurt, like not only did I already have a fractured hip and bleeding, from my skinned knee, I was also spanked. And disciplined and grounded on top of it. So it's like you go to the doctor, you're like, yeah, okay, so she broke her hip. Why does she have bruises on her butt again? Oh yeah, she got beat for breaking her hip. Like anyway.
And all you like, that was such a black thing. Oh my gosh.
Such a black thing. Seriously, stop crying before you get smacked. And it's like, but I'm crying because you smacked me. Come on, man. Like, oh, the discipline. Like I said, nobody is scarier than a strong black mama.
No, not at all.
Except grandmama. Yeah, so pogo ball was obviously extremely dangerous, but extremely fun. And people took them to school. And what else do we play with at school? Skip it. Why? Because if you brought your skip it to school, you were the coolest kid in
Right.
class. Everybody wanted to play skip it. Skip it was a really good way to discriminate against other kids. To be like, no, you can't play on my skip it because you could only play with like three friends at a time because, the circle is only so big. And it was just like, okay, no, I don't want you playing with my skip it. I remember there was a girl who had a skip it who didn't want me to play, but then another girl brought her skip it and she liked me. We were friends. I was like, yay, I finally get to play skip it. Man, but if you don't jump in time, so for people who don't remember what Skip It is like, if you haven't Googled it already, Skip It was this toy that was like, you put it around your ankle. There's like a hoop that you put around your ankle. It's small enough for your foot to fit in. And then it's like a long thing. I don't know how long it was. Was it 3 feet long
I
with
think
a
so.
heavy thing on the end,
Like
a
a
heavy
ball with a counter.
ball with a counter? Exactly. And so every time it would go around in a circle, because the person was basically the center of the circle and it would go around in a circumference. So it's like a radius going around the circumference of a circle. And every time it would make a full run, or it would be one count, like, and you had to jump. So your whole goal was to jump over this thing. And
Yeah, or lift
like,
your one leg as
yeah, with your one
it goes
leg.
around.
So it was like the person who had the thing around their ankle, it was their job to spin it and then jump over it as well. But because we were small people, we were kids, you can still on the if you don't have it around your ankle, you can still jump over it and be part of the fun. Girl, I don't know how many kids got hit with Skip Its and had to go to the clinic and get ice packs. That was some nonsense. First of all, I don't even know how many miles per hour the thing is swinging. It has to be measurable. It is a projectile at that. Like it is. This is not okay. It's not. It's like, there has to be a movie that there's a you know, when you're like running, you're like, oh my God, we're going to get killed, and you have to keep jumping over something. It's like that. And then you get tripped over. You're like, oh no, I got tripped. And then you end up in a meat grater. Like, that's basically what this thing is. Oh my God. The first time that thing ever hit me, I went down on the concrete. The blacktop is already hard. Why I got to get hit by a, you know, 10 ton missile and then fall down on my face. Now I'm also going to get in trouble because I got hurt at school. Like, it's one thing to get hurt and embarrassed in my own neighborhood, but now I had to get hurt and embarrassed at school in front of the teachers. And so now my mom's thinking she's an even worse mom because I'm getting hurt at school.
Yeah, it was such a bad time. Yeah, like Double Dutch is safer.
Totally, and Double Dutch, man, so much safer. We used to get welts on our face from those ropes. That is safer than a skip it.
I'm laughing because I know what you. I was just thinking that, like, oh, getting hit in the face with that was so bad. But like,
so bad.
As you say it, I'm like, yep, that was safer. It was safer than this ball flying around. Because like, the person in the middle is fine.
Yeah.
It's because it's essentially a toy for one person. But right. You know, you want to play with people, and you don't want to wait for them to finally stop, because it was mad easy to, you know, jump over it, right?
Jump.
And so they're gonna have a really long turn. So you're like, you know what, let me jump with you. And mm-hmm. The thing is, if you're not, you know, if they're, you know, they're not rotating right or whatever, the ball's gonna hit you on the way down. It's gonna hit you in the ankle, and then mm-hmm. Everything goes black at that point.
The pain. Oh, so many children probably have. There are a bunch of 30-something, 40-year-olds right now who are like, I know it's going to rain today. I feel it in my ankle. All the 40-year-olds are like, yeah, so I had an experience back in 1987. Like, no, absolutely not. Skip It was terrible.
They wake up in cold sweats. Like, no, Skip It, no.
So many bad dreams. I think that they told us to stop bringing it to school. I mean, again, like, I didn't have one. It was the other kids. But I think that we eventually were told not to bring it, but not because it was hurting people, because people were fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting over it. Yep. Yep.
And
just
it's like
anything
it's
else.
It's kind of funny to fight over it, like a toy that's not yours. It's literally somebody else's toy, but they're like, you said I could do, you said I could, I hate you. Yo, kids.
And it was also weird because typically when you go to, you know, you're going to recess, that's when they brought it out. All the stuff there is for everyone. So the idea that you brought something from home just to play with yourself, not to say any kid should feel like they're entitled to it, but I can understand why some of these fights happen. It's like it's like show and tell times 10, because now I get to play with the thing.
Yeah, it's like, well, don't bring it if you don't want to share. And then it's, you know, show offs and parents show offs. Like, yeah, take your new Skip It to school.
Horrible people.
Anyway, that was a fun. Oh, I don't know which one won. I guess maybe we should grade which one was more dangerous.
Oh,
you know what? Double Dutch wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Just do Double Dutch.
Oh God.
Horrible toys. The next one, because I'm big on the, you know, I've been doing a lot of action figures, so I'm gonna switch it up just a little bit. And talk about Micro Machines versus Hot Wheels.
Yes.
This one I'm going to lean towards the Hot Wheels. Now, the Micro Machines were great. I loved having the little tiny cars. I collected a bunch of them. I actually had a display where I put all the cars on. And it was cool because of the types of cars that you could get versus the Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, for the most part, or at least for a while, it wasn't always that way. But for a while, the Hot Wheels were certain cars, like the muscle cars, the, you know, Ferraris and stuff like that. Eventually, they kind of spread out and had other types of cars outside of, like, you know, basically American muscle car type of thing. Whereas Micro Machines, they were all sorts of cars, but then they also went into, like, emergency vehicles. They had licensed vehicles, so like Star Wars models and stuff like that. Like, they had a bunch of different types of little tiny cars. And Hot Wheels, it took them a little while to kind of get to that point. Mm. However, Hot Wheels takes the cake for me, because I remember getting a set where it was like a car wash, And
Yeah.
you had on one side you had warm water, one side you had cold water. And when you went through, if the warm water touched the car, it would change it to a color, or change its color.
Yes.
And then when you went to the cold side, it would change it back. And what was really cool is when you dunked it into the like one of the wells of water, half of the car would be one color, half would be the other. And that just, for whatever reason, that just took the cake for me. I was just like, this is the best thing ever. You can change the color of the car. Like before, it was like, I want a red car. I had to go buy the red car. I want a blue car. No, I have a magenta car, and then now it's like cerulean, and I am
Yo,
losing my mind.
the
I'm losing my mind right now. Like, it was so cool. I was, do you see this with the water? Look at the color. Like, yeah, it was great. It was
Yeah, they
great.
got us on that. They really got us on that because it was like, wow, wait a minute. First of all, whoever filmed those commercials had the best life. Because to make it look so cool, to make it look like, oh my God, like you're really in those cars and you're a kid, awesome. But seriously, the whole car wash thing, I was just like, I didn't get that. I didn't. I think we got one of the cars that changed color, and that was about it. Because again, we were poor. But yeah, Hot Wheels was the bomb, and Micro Machines was awesome, which we didn't have any Micro Machines, but we had the Raceways.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember if they were, I think they were Hot Wheel Raceways. I cannot remember, but I remember we had these big raceways at home, and you could, throw the Micro Machine, not Micro Machines, you could throw the Hot Wheels on there. And then they did have power to them. That's why I can't remember if they, because I know the Micro Machines had power.
Yeah, some of them,
And
like you would pull back and then they would kind of like wind up and you would let them go and they would kind of like speed off. The Hot Wheels had the thing where like you would put them on something like a rubber band would like pull them back and you would hit them, hit like let it go and it would go like over a loop-de-loop or up the wall or something like that. Yeah, those were cool too.
We had those were so much fun, and people used to trade them, and it was just fun. And that was something that, like obviously boys played with those toys, but as a little girl, like I loved playing with cars. I just really loved cars. So I was a big Hot Wheels fan, and I still remember the Micro Machines song, and I don't know why. Micro Machines taking over the place. Something, something, something. Ready to race. I don't know. I just know these things. There are a bunch of, 80s jingles that I still remember. We don't have to go into that. We don't.
Yeah, they were great. My daughter's actually plays with them, some of
Oh.
them too. So they like cars as well.
Yeah, because cars are awesome.
They are.
Some of the hoods came up.
That was dope too. I remember
Yes.
that. It was like the kind of like like the car shows where they would have like the hoods and stuff. And because that was the thing, it was like, what? How can we beat? Because Micro Machines at one point was like the largest or the most. They sold the most in terms of cars, outside of like remote control cars. They sold the most at a certain point because of the licenses. And so Hot Wheels was like, man, we gotta do something. Like
Change the paint.
change the paint, like pop the hoods, like you could do all sorts of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, that was the best. All right. So I have next on my list, I have Simon versus the Rubik's Cube. Wait, which one won? Hot Wheels, right?
Yeah, Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels.
Okay.
Micro Machines, I think maybe it's a tie. I liked Hot Wheels
Is
because the
it?
paint, but there was so many reasons why Micro Machines would win that.
That's true. Yeah, maybe it's that. Who knows? We'll see. All right, so Simon versus Rubik's Cube. And I know people might be like, wait, what? But they're both puzzles, okay? The Rubik's Cube came out in 1980. I don't even remember when Simon came out. I just know we had it. And they were both equally as hard. Like, if you weren't a genius, if you weren't a whiz kid, it took you forever to do the Rubik's Cube. And if you're anyone like I know, somebody that Kenny's married to, you'll change the stickers. Okay. When we were going to, like, I don't remember us having a Rubik's Cube in my house, but your wife's house, there was a Rubik's Cube there. And I remember after frustration, people changing the colors and moving the sticker and calling it a day.
Man.
Yeah. Because that's how some people solve it. But if you just weren't, a genius to figure like to stay focused on it and finish it, or if you didn't realize that there was an algorithm, again, being smart as a kid, like, you may not figure it out in time. You may like get three quarters of the way and be like, man, I've gotten all these except these last two and I can't figure it out. So whatever. Simon's the same way. Like, you sit there and you play Simon and then you're like, okay, you know what? You got me. You got me, Simon. Okay. Red, orange, blue, green, blue, green, blue, 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 red, blue. Ding. And come on, Simon. I had that one. And then the batteries died. Were they C batteries?
I believe so.
Anymore.
There were so many versions of Simon.
I only like the original. Well, I mean, I assume it was the original, the one that we had growing up. I remember the newer Simon, and I played the newer Simon some late 90s, early 2000s or something, some whatever. And I was like, this is trash. Like, what is this? No, the original Simon was the bomb that, like, and the whole family played, and the whole family was distracted for, like, that would keep us occupied forever. Like,
yeah.
Simon. I mean, you could play with more than one person, whereas with Rubik's Cube, it was really just a one person thing.
I mean, you would pass it around because you're like, dog, I can't do this. Can you help me with this? Yeah. Simon, and obviously, you know, Simon, like Simon says, it's a memory-based game. Came out in 1978, I believe. It would light up, you know, the colors, and it would beep for each color, and you would have to basically follow the pattern. So it would be like you said, red, blue, then you press red, blue, then it'll be like red, blue, green, then you press red, blue, green, and then it'll keep going until you're like, your eyes cross, and you're like, I can't do this anymore. And for me, Simon wins hands down. I think the Rubik's Cube, I think the Rubik's Cube is genius because it was a toy, or just the fact that it sold, right? Because plenty of people who had a Rubik's Cube in their house never solved it,
right?
But they still wanted it. Like, I've seen it on keychains. I've seen it like all over the place. And it was one of those things where, like there's bragging rights if you could do it, but a lot of people couldn't. But they still wanted to try, and it sold. You know, similar to, like, this. Not to say it is as bad as the Slinky, but it's like, this is you're selling a square puzzle.
Yep.
That most of your audience isn't going to solve, and people still were buying it for however many years. So it's genius. I don't know how that works. Whereas Simon, it's a fun party game based on memory, and it made sounds and it lit up and, you know, all this other stuff. It was easily the better toy, but I don't think people will remember Simon as much as they remember the cube.
Right. Because the Rubik's Cube still sells, and it's I shouldn't say original, because the colored version of it is actually, I think, the second iteration. I think it was originally like something, like, I don't know. It wasn't the exact one. It was something different. It was either like all black and white or something stupid. And then it was like, they're like, hey, maybe this will work better. And then it was colors. It's like, oh my God. And, you know, to the one we see today. And they even made more. They made a bigger version and a smaller version, not just like the keychain size, because that's still three face, like, you know, 3x3. Is that the right way to say it? 3x? Yeah. Anyway, they made a bigger version, like that was like 6x6 or something. But I think there was like a little 2x2 version or some nonsense, which is, you know, stupid. But I remember buying one in like 2008 or 2009 or something, just because I needed something to do at work while I was bored. And at that time, I never knew that it was an algorithm. It was just something that a puzzle that I had tried to solve as a kid, but then I never owned it. And so I never got the opportunity to do it again until I was an adult and had to go to Toys R Us and buy my own. And that's when I found out that if you could remember the algorithm, you can solve it in any way, shape, or form. And I was like, wow. So it was kind of funny because one of my friends was like, oh, I can do it. And I was like, are you solving it from algorithm memory or just because? He's like, I can do the algorithm. He goes, I can remember the algorithm, which he did. Because he's a weirdo and a computer guy. And he did. And he sat there and he I will remember the algorithm and I will have it back to you. And so he came and sat with me one day And I was like, and he was supposed to solve it before we went to lunch, and he didn't solve it. And I was like, you didn't do it. And he was like, for crying out loud, let me finish it. We came back from lunch and he did it. And I was like, fine. But yeah, I mean, like, that's a smart person who can actually remember that algorithm. And me, I always got lost on the algorithm, like, closer to the end. I was like, I cannot remember. I can't. It's just for me, I'm not that great with, I shouldn't say I'm bad at memory because I beat Simon. But I'm just the type of person who can feel the cube out instead. So I ended up solving it just by feeling it out instead of actually remembering that there is a way to beat it. And with Simon, for me, like, I'll just say, like, yes, Rubik's Cube still sells to this day and it is still extremely popular, but Simon was just so much fun because I miss Simon. I don't miss my Rubik's Cube and it's somewhere in a box. I think it's really nice to have it, but Simon, I miss that original Simon. It was so much fun, so angering. Yeah, Simon wins for me.
definitely. For me, the next one, now this is a niche because I don't think many people know about these toys. We're not going to say anything about it being food related. Whatever, I don't care. So I had two sets of toys that I really, really liked. The first was Food Fighters. I liked these figures because there was nothing like them. And what I mean by that is I don't remember any type of, like, there were two sets of toys. There were two factions, and they were basically food. Like, there was a giant pizza guy and a guy who was a drumstick and flapjacks. I remember I had flapjacks. He was basically, you know, pancakes with, a face and arms. And, you know, it was weird. They had – their body was made out of food, but they had arms and legs that were, like, a regular person's. It was weird.
Yeah, I remember that.
But they had, like you know, vehicles that were made out of, like, it was like a grill with, like, hot dogs as torpedoes and stuff. And I just thought it was really neat. Like, it's a different type of toy that I haven't seen before. And the idea that thematically they were all centered around one place. You know, this was like, now, you know, the appeal of Toy Story outside of the fact that they're toys is that they all share this theme or this idea of, like, we're all basically fake. And when the kids come around, they play with us. Whereas the Food Fighters are like, we're all food and we're, you know, healthy or not healthy or whatever the case may be. We're beefing because of these things. And so I thought it was interesting. On the other side was the Killer Tomatoes. Now, this was weird because the Killer Tomatoes films were basically tomatoes. They were using tomatoes, I guess, somehow to clone people. And so the people were tomato people. But when it came to the cartoon show, the tomatoes turned—they were giant size. They turned monstrous. And so when they came out with these toys, they were basically like the Mad Balls. They were giant tomatoes with, like, faces, and they had various different faces and different themes for each tomato. And they had the human people were like a second thought. Like, they were smaller. They only had a few colors. They weren't all that great. But the tomatoes were, you know, lively and huge for the most part. And so I thought both of these sets of toys were really, really cool. And for me, being that it was like, there's outside of Mad Balls, because they were, you know, they all have their own faces and maybe Garbage Pail Kids, because, you know, it was like this collectible thing that goes along with them. For the most part, there was nothing like this at all. Like Transformers, I can go to GoBots. Freaking G.I. Joes, there's a ton of different action figures that are like them. You know, He-Man, Silverhawks, Thundercats, whatever. There's a ton of them. You can find, like, something that's similar in the same toy aisle. When I went to see the Food Fighters or pick up the Killer Tomatoes, there was nothing at all like these toys. And I was like, yo, this is interesting. And then, like, you read about their lore or, like, on the back of the box, like, why this particular drumstick is pissed at the pizza guy or whatever. And I end up getting into it. If anybody has a set of Food Fighters that isn't broken or tarnished, let me know. I will pay for them. Like,
you will happily buy it.
Yes. You know, as long as you're not, you know, going overboard with the price, I'll totally buy it.
Yeah, like that PlayStation person.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to do that.
PlayStation.
I will wait.
I'm going to sell it for $1.1 million. No, sir. You're going to sell it for $300,000. Okay.
Yeah, not even that much.
Ooh, right. All right, so I'm going to do the next one, My Little Ponies. I was going to do My Little Ponies versus those other horsies, but the ones that I can't figure out what they're called. So we were actually just going to call them horsies that we can't figure out what they're called.
Yes.
But I realized that if I had to put toys of my own up against another when I was a child, if you were talking to 8-year-old me, or sorry, 7-year-old me, if you were talking to 7-year-old me, I would have said My Little Ponies versus Barbie, actually. That would have been my argument.
That makes sense.
But yeah, because they're both dolls, you know, and My Little Pony had similar things that Barbie did. I mean, yeah, Barbie had more occupations. Barbie was a doctor. She was a sidekick to Ken sometimes. Like, she drove a car. That was her job, to drive a 57 Chevy. Like, Barbie had a lot of things going on in her life. And it also kind of scared me. And I'm just going to say this, kind of scared me because there were so many Barbies named Barbie. Like, there was Barbie, 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 and then Kenya. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you had Holiday Barbie, and you had Wedding Barbie, and you had Dr. Barbie, and you had Nurse Barbie, and you had Hot Barbie and Hoochie Barbie. They were all Barbie, and
Oh, God.
it was just weird. It was getting weird for me because it was like, isn't this the same chick? Right? You know, it wasn't like,
Right.
here's Barbie and we're going to sell you all these different outfits. It was her name. Like, all of these white women's name is Barbie because they don't all look the same. And I was
Yeah.
like, I was getting kind of scared. I'm telling you, this is where my child mind went to. Obviously, as in, you know, you grow up and you're like, okay, whatever. But you didn't, it wasn't like that in My Little Pony. There wasn't the same pony named, you know, Twinkle Toes. Like, it was, if you got Bouquet, you got Bouquet. She was the white pony with the rainbow hair.
Right.
And if you got the one with the wind up, she had a wind up neck, which you could pull out her tail and make her tail really long and beautiful. Or you could like wind up her head and then the tail would kind of retract to a normal size My Little Pony tail. But the thing about Bouquet was that she was that special pony that had that beautiful long hair that you could brush, because you know the commercials were always like brushing the pony's hair. So
Yeah.
Bouquet was special, and I had her. There wasn't a barbecue Bouquet. There wasn't a nurse Bouquet. She was just Bouquet, and she had like a wedding dress or some nonsense. I don't know, some flowers. And then you had Four Speed, the pony. There wasn't like truck driver Four Speed, or mechanic Four Speed. He was like a Clydesdale or he was a Clydesdale pony. So he had like bigger legs and you know that like molded on hair that toys do when you know that it's not like real hair on the legs and stuff. But you get what I'm saying is like My Little Pony had their own identity per pony, whereas Barbie was, to be honest, Barbie has multiple personality disorder, and it's kind of freaky if you really think about it. Until Barbie's other friends showed up, because you know, then there was Teresa, the Barbie Teresa, who first Teresa that I remember because I had that doll. She just looked like a black girl. She looked like Halle Berry. And then the next one was Teresa, and then I was like, oh, she Latina. Like, yeah, you did not know that in the beginning. I was like, this is my favorite Barbie doll. We have the same name. They're so similar, twins. That's besides the point. That really has nothing to do with anything. But the point is, it was like more Barbies started showing up. Midge, Skipper. Skipper was there obviously for a while, but Skipper, Midge, Teresa, and Kenya. And it was like, okay, so there are more Barbies, and Barbie's just the name of the doll brand. Like, that's my point. My point is like, oh, there was 17 Barbies until other females started showing up with different names. So I just think that she has dissociative personality disorder or multiple personality disorder. She can't figure out who she wants to be. She can be anybody.
but it's whatever. And then Barbie had, you know, houses and stuff. But the My Little Ponies had some awesome houses because I had Paradise Estate. That's what my mom bought me for Christmas one year. I think I was like 7 or 6 or something like that. And it was massive. Paradise Estate was the bomb. It had a pool.
Oh, that's fire.
Filled the pool up with water. It came with perfume. Paradise Estate was banging. I wanted a house like Paradise Estate, okay? The ponies could go in there. There was a nursery. There were baby ponies. They all had names. There was a family, you know, pony families. And they had movies. I was like, I loved My Little Ponies. They were my jam.
Yeah, and this is before, like, they had
I'm gonna go for ponies. I know that other people would be like, no, Barbie hands down. But no, ponies, I identified with them.
Well, My Little Pony has gone pretty far. You know, because this was before they had the little, you know, on their bums, they had the different symbols to say who they were or whatever.
Yeah.
And had, you know, multiple TV shows and movies. And they're still pretty big right now in terms of toys and being on TV and such. Comparative, I mean, and granted, Barbie's not going anywhere. Like it's gonna be around. I want to say the one that I saw recently was I think developer Barbie. Like she wanted to be, or like IT Barbie or something like that, which I thought was actually kind of cool. In terms of getting, you know, girls wanting to go into tech side of things. But yeah, she's not going anywhere.
she's not.
It's you know, but yeah, that was kind of interesting. It was a way to sell more toys, similar to I know that was a thing that happened with the Ninja Turtles, obviously, because there's only 4, and so, or Batman. I remember, like, this is, you know, glow in the dark Batman, and this is blah 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 Batman,
right?
Because selling their clothes would never happen, right? Like, no one's gonna buy clothing for the doll,
right?
But people will buy a new one that had the you know, the Malibu car or whatever. Like, we'll buy you a new one, but yeah, I'm not gonna buy Barbie clothing. Like, whatever, like, put her old clothes back on. We're not changing that. But yeah, I think I would go, and you know, I didn't really have them, but I remember watching the shows, especially now that I have girls, I would probably go with the My Little Pony as well.
Yeah, definitely. You learned stuff from the show. The shows were amazing. Like, it was my favorite show. I used to watch it before preschool. It was my favorite show. That's when we had cable, and then we had to get rid of the cable, so we couldn't watch it no more. But my mom still bought me the movies, the one with the Grundles in it. And I was really happy. My Little Ponies just made me very happy. They were very positive, and they dealt with problems. Like, one of them ran away from home because she felt like nobody would listen to her. Like, and she's like, I can live by myself. And it was the cutest, cutest, cutest thing. And they had songs. I loved My Little Ponies. I don't know about anything now, though, because I don't. All I know is that they look different. And I loved the Flutter Ponies. Oh, my God. Because they had those wings. And you could press a button and their wings would, like, oh, my God, they were the best. Pegasus Ponies were different than Flutter Pony. Oh yeah, we can go into it. Like, I love Pegasus Pony because Pegasus is like my favorite thing. But there were Flutter Ponies, which had butterfly wings, and then there were Pegasus Ponies that had like big Pegasus wings. Totally different. But they were all My Little Ponies, and the Flutter Ponies were very like elite status. They didn't really let anybody like into their area. Flutter Ponies lived in a special part of Ponyland or wherever, you know, they lived in the world. And they were like, I don't know, you had to like climb a rainbow, cross a cloud bridge, go through the Lonely Mountain, and then follow the Olympic Road. And then you would end up in Flutter Ponyville. Like, you were almost never going to get there. And you had to fight like Shelob on the way. You did. You had to fight these spiders to get there. You had to, it was, and go through Gargamel. My Little Ponies was the bomb. Totally. Hands down, they win.
Definitely, definitely. Let's see. My last one is going to be the real Ghostbusters toys versus Filmation's Ghostbusters toys. I know what you're thinking. Well, actually, I don't even know. Do you remember Filmation's Ghostbusters? Probably not.
I just remember they changed.
Probably not. So Filmation Ghostbusters was based on the old TV show Ghostbusters. And this show had it was two guys and a gorilla that would go around busting ghosts. And that's actually where the real Ghostbusters got their name for the movie. Well, yeah, it was kind of like they derived their name from it. And when they were making the movie, there was all these issues with trying to get the license. And Filmation had the license for the cartoon. And so when the real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbuster films were big, then they made the real Ghostbusters show. Filmation was like, hey, maybe we can cash in with our version of Ghostbusters. And so from that old show, which was the original, they had the descendants of those two actors. So in cartoon form, it was the sons, and they had a gorilla that would, go about busting ghosts with them. What was cool about the Filmation's Ghostbusters was that the ghosts were a mainstay on the show. With the real Ghostbusters, you just had Slimer for the most part. And
We love
so,
fire.
yeah, Slimer's cool. And so you would always come up against these different ghosts, and they would have to, do away with them or whatever, and then the next show you would have, there would be a new one, but the old ones would come back, because it was like the main guy was called Prime Evil, and he had a group of ghosts or monsters that would always be with him, and so you would kind of see these characters a lot, and that translated to the toys. You would have characters that you saw from the show each week and to collect, which was cool. On the flip side, the Ghostbusters, I think their toys were better made than the Filmation's versions, but all of their ghosts were just random people, like random ghosts that they made up. And that kind of bothered me because the show had really, really good like villains. Like the Boogeyman, like that was like one of the biggest ones, right? Like, and they never, I don't think they ever made a toy for him, that you could purchase. It was all like made up, and they were cool toys. They were cool looking ghosts, but they weren't anything that you saw from the show. And so as a kid, you're like, ooh, I want to be that guy, or I want to play against, fight against that guy. Where all the other toys you had, where there's Thundercats, you had Mum-Ra, Filmation's Ghostbusters, you had Prime Evil, you had the bad guys and the good guys. Ghostbusters, not so much. And it made sense. You have a limited, each show there was a new ghost, and so you didn't, it was kind of difficult to kind of do that. So they had different versions of the Ghostbusters themselves, but I thought it would be cool just to have, even a few outside of Slimer, and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It would be cool to have some of these more memorable ghosts that were from the show, because Boogeyman, the Boogeyman, I remember him. It's hundreds and hundreds of different ghosts, but I remember his episode because it was so scary, and I was like, I want to, trap this particular ghost, and never could find it. And I don't know if they made it eventually, but for the most part, I couldn't find it anywhere. So for me, this is a tie. I liked both shows growing up, and I liked their action figures. Filmation had the key characters that I wanted, whereas the Ghostbusters had the better made toys.
I don't, I honestly, from Ghostbusters, what I remember most obviously is Slimer. And I just remember Slimer changing. Like, Slimer looked one way one point, and then he looked a different way at a different point. I was like, what's happening? And all of the high C drinks were ectoplasm. That's what I remember the most.
That was cool. That was cool. I don't know why, but it was cool.
Like, yeah, you were cool if you came to school with a high C ectoplasm. Tastes so weird if I remember correctly.
It was okay. I think the idea that just had something to do with Ghostbusters World, that's how big it got,
Yeah, it was
that it was like I just had to have whatever. Whatever they had from the, Ecto-1 to Slimer to all the Ghostbusters to the actual fire station,
Uh-huh.
it just had to have, and especially, because the films are very popular,
Yeah.
that, yeah, it was like, yeah, whatever. Ghostbusters, everything sold. If I could find a proton pack, I would buy it.
Yes.
I would buy it.
Well, my friend can make you one.
A word? Okay.
Yeah, well, she lives down the street from you.
Oh,
She
nice.
don't live far from, she probably lives like 10 minutes from you. Yeah, she can make you one. I'll call her. Yeah, she was one of the Ghostbusters for Halloween a couple years ago. So yeah, she has a proton pack that she made.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm like looking at my list and I'm like, which one do I want to talk about? Well, I'll be educational. So one of my favorite toys as a child was anything from Sesame Street, really. So I love Cookie Monster and I loved Elmo and I love Grover. And I had this toy called the Cookie Counter. Many people may not know, but it was this awesome little yellow toy that you got, you could count things on. It was Fisher Price, I'm sure. And it, you know, taught you things, taught you how to count. I loved this toy. I felt so smart playing this toy. And so I'm versusing that against the Speak and Spell. And I know a lot of people have the Speak and Spell, and it was a good toy. It taught you how to spell, taught you how to say things properly. I don't care because the Cookie Counter wins in my book. I don't care. The Cookie Counter was like the best thing for me. Like I said, I didn't have so many of these toys. Like I know I could call my friends from growing up and they would be like, oh, I had every toy on your list. I've had every toy and then some. Because I didn't have a lot of them. Like I know a lot of kids had so many Fisher-Price toys. And on a personal level, like we didn't have a lot of Fisher-Price toys at home, just like the Sesame Street toys, but the rest of the toys that we grew up with were at my church. You know, we played with a lot of those toys, like the vacuum and the thing where you put the shapes in and stuff. Those were all at my church. But otherwise at home, like, yeah, I didn't get a Speak and Spell, but I know my friends did. So I know it was a good toy. I know it taught people things, but the Cookie Counter wins for me because it was my favorite thing. And I used to carry it around with me because it had a handle. It's like a little laptop and you just kind of just walked around with it. And it's bright yellow and I like yellow. So it wins. It's the best toy. All the Sesame Street toys were awesome growing up. So I'm going to be biased towards Sesame Street toys. I need listeners to help me out because I can't find it on the internet. And I really think that I may have been one of the only people who had it. It was a TV. It was a Sesame Street TV, and it had a record player on top of it. This was not a separate thing. This was not like the separate record player that Sesame Street has. This was not the separate TV that Sesame Street has. This was like a TV with a record player on top of it, and you had to put, I think you had to put cartridges in it or something that would show you a movie, and the record player actually gave you the audio for the movie that was playing. And it would teach you stuff. Like, I think this was one of the best toys ever. And I don't want to say it was like a movie. Like, it wasn't like a TV. Like, if I put a DVD in my PlayStation 2, which I have. Don't judge me. But it was like, you know, like, I guess one of those like slideshow maybe things. Maybe possibly. But I just remember the song was, let's do it together, it'll be great, or something like that. And I'm like, this is the best toy, the best. Like, Sesame Street came out with some awesome things, and I can't find it. I have Googled the internet, I have scoured the interwebs, and I cannot seem to find it. I think I have a rare gem on my hands. I hope it is still in my mother's basement, but I doubt because my mom decided to send all of our old toys to Ghana, the same place she sent our pound puppies, the same pound puppies that were worth like $100,000.
Goodness.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm so sad. I had so many original, like, you know, when your mom works at a department store and it's 1987, how is she supposed to know that these toys are going to be worth anything? But I had like the original Rainbow Bright, like the big one. We had the little Rainbow Bright. We had the Rainbow Bright horse. We had all of the original Hello Kitties, like the big one. So the big stuffed Hello Kitties. And then the small little Hello Kitty, like the figurines, the ones before they became hollow.
Yeah.
Like, what are they, vinyl or something? Those ones that were actually worth money. And the Hello Kitty house we had a bunch of things that probably would have been worth money, but they slowly started disappearing. And then they ended up in Ghana. Somebody has them.
It's rough.
It's so rough because I could have some money right now.
I don't got no unemployment. I ain't got no pandemic assistance. I didn't even get the tax thing. I could have had some Hello Kitty Pound Puppy money.
Goodness.
80s babies.
We had great toys. We had great toys. I mean, you know, aside from the more dangerous stuff, we had some good stuff.
Yes, the dangerous items. And we're surprised we're still here. Because one concussion too many really should have taken us out. I mean, honestly, the hits to the face with the double dutch was like, it was one thing if you had like rope, jumping rope. But in school, you remember like the school issued jump ropes were plastic. It was rope, but it had those plastic pieces on it. You remember those?
Yeah.
Those, like, getting hit with a rope might hurt. It does hurt. Getting hit with a plastic rope hurts. But getting hit with the rope that is covered with those plastic blue and white links, or the red, white, and blue links.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they made those things. But those things, they cracked. Like, they could fly off and hit you. Like, man, the injuries. We made it. We made it. I'm so proud of us. We made it through Cabbage Patch Kids and Care Bears.
It's you'd be surprised what you could live through. You'd be surprised. But yeah, there was a lot of good ones too. And that's not to say that there aren't any good toys now. It's interesting looking back at what, because a lot of it was imagination based, you know. Whether it was the Slinky, I remember, you know, just thinking about the Ghostbusters. I had the Zapper, the Ghost Zapper.
And yeah.
It was, you know, you turn your lights off and you point it at a wall and it would project a ghost there, and you would press a button and it's like, you know, you're zapping a ghost like a Ghostbuster. Like, awesome toy. And yeah. it was mainly me. And you know, and I would say that, like, outside of the more electronical stuff that we have nowadays, there are still action figures and stuff like that. But, you know, we had a lot of things that were very minimal in how they were designed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, you know, your kid's going to love it. Just basically give them a box and they'll play with it type of stuff.
And we did. We had a lot of boxes in my house and we had fun with those boxes. Like, shoot. We had fun in the dryer. I used to climb inside the dryer and hide. Like, there, you could, when we were growing up, going outside and having fun and being imaginative was normal, you know. And it obviously there's a shift in that because just life in general changes. Like, people are afraid to not have an eye on their kids, and there seems to be several more dangers now, so it's different. And, you know, video games and all kinds of other kinds of stuff and iPads have definitely turned into babysitters to where kids don't go outside as much. But we did have to do a lot of imaginative things just because we didn't have technology. Like, the best technology we had was a CNC, a speak and spell, and a cookie counter.
Or the, what was it, the Teddy Ruxpin with the tapes?
Teddy Ruxpin. Scary.
I had an ALF record. That was cool.
Okay. ALF was the bomb, but also a little scary.
A little bit. Yeah, I could see that. I had a ALF puppet that came with a little guitar that would be with the record, so you could, like, you know, pretend like you were ALF. Which is interesting enough, because it was like, I don't think ALF was actually for us. Like, I think that was like
adult.
Yeah, that was like a, I mean, they didn't have any adult content, but it was mainly it seemed like it was mainly for adults, not necessarily us.
Yeah, and if you were a kid who just happened to be watching TV, because, like, it came on prime time, it wasn't like it came on at a time where we were watching all of our shows, like ALF, Perfect Strangers, the other one, Little Girl, Gidget, and then Punky Brewster. Like, they all came on, you know, in that same, like, primetime block, so we were going to watch it. But, yeah, I do think that ALF was more of a grown-up show. Yeah. He was always in the shower singing.
or on the couch, yeah. Anywhere they could hide the puppeteers and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. Man. Well,
Memories.
Memories growing up.
Well, that is our show for today. Hopefully you enjoyed. Let us know in the comments if there was any toys that you would like us to talk about, you know, that we might have missed. There's tons. We had a long list of verses that we wanted to get to, but we only have an hour and some change, and so we had to shorten it to what we thought would be interesting to talk about. But there's a ton of toys.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's that were it would be interesting as well. It's just, you know, time or restraints and all of that. But let us know if any of these toys ring a bell with you, if you had Barbies, if you had My Little Ponies, if you had, you know, the Slinky, how you feel about that versus your, you know, your older self. Let us know. Also, be sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you know when new content comes up. We've been a little off here and there. And so, you know, if you weren't subscribed, you wouldn't know. So definitely hit the button. There's other shows and stuff that are popping up. I'm just saying, you know, cover our Slack. Help us help you. Help us help you. Dr. Cosplays. Yes. We appreciate your time. And we hope you enjoyed the show. Like I said, tell us in the comments what you think about it. And if you want us to talk about a particular topic. And we will look into that and see if that's a thing we'll do.
Yeah. Definitely. We always thank you guys for stopping by and listening to us. We hope you guys are still staying safe out there. Remember to wash your hands. Remember to wear your mask. Remember to social distance. Remember to try to stay 6 feet apart if you do happen to go outside. And, you know, just do the normal things like, A, don't be a dick. Don't be a Karen.
Yes.
And remember Breonna Taylor. And please call your local or actually just be an activist. Be an anti-racist. That's what we need for you guys to be. So thanks for listening to us. Also, be an anti-racist and get out there and call your representatives and do what needs to be done. We appreciate that. Appreciate you guys listening to us. Have a great night. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.